Hey everybody, welcome to the podcast. I've got Fenner here. We are doing a special podcast with Fenner. He has already been on the show. Technically, he was on the guest show. Say hello, Fenner.
Hello, Fenrir.
You know, I remember I saw in Final Fantasy 14, you know, there's several Fenners. There's a Fenner pup, you know, so it's a real thing.
I am, in actuality, a dog.
See, you know, we would never know, right? The internet.
Nobody would know if you're a dog on the internet. No. Yep.
I swear to, like, I'm thinking back to, like, personal stuff you've said, and I'm like, you know, that does still fit with a dog. So is that where your name comes from? Is that what your owners, you know, they named you that?
No. There are some layers behind it, but it's like to go back to whenever I first, like, came up with my internet handle 30 plus years ago or whatever. So I'm a Louisiana native, so I have to have a name that essentially, like, relates to that. So swamps. There's a wolf in Nordic mythology, which I am kind of into, whose name essentially translates to swamp dweller, swamp liver, something like that. So Fenrir means swamp liver. And then the latter half of it, Lunaris, well, I always had an interest in astronomy, so you put the lunar in there, and I guess it makes sense.
I was not aware that it's a swamp-dwelling dog.
Supposedly, because, well, I mean, a fen is a swamp, right? So kind of a more, you know, some alternate name for essentially like a marshland.
I like that how everybody seems to have these deep meanings for their names. It's not just, well, I guess I take that back. A couple of people have been like, you know, hey, I don't know, I picked it at random. Yay.
Like, what's your name? Spoon. Hey, just, you know, just sort of clanging through a drawer and I found a spoon and that became my name.
That's not why, but it's not why.
It's not totally inaccurate.
Yeah. No, so the history of my name. Since you've brought it up, might as well, you know, special episode. So this year, my name is actually a couple of things. So first, it was actually a random name generated on Diablo 2 that I used to play a lot on. But it kind of stuck with me for two other reasons. So I'd actually made a character in like elementary school named Spoon. And it was like I drew it and it was a spoon that was spawn. You know, but like it was, you know, spoon instead of spawn. And like I would draw him with the cape and the big, you know, the spawn kind of eyes that look like Spider-Man eyes. And he'd have the chains. And I actually made an action figure of him, if you can call it an action figure. It was a, you know, it's a plastic spoon. But I actually got like he had a leather belt and I had staples made, chains and a cloth cape. The other reason, so it's you know, it's multi-layered, but the other reason is, so I actually remember vividly there was one time in kindergarten when my mom got called in because I had bent spoons in the cafeteria. So they had given us metal spoons, which I'm sure is just unheard of these days,
right.
but they were giving us metal spoons and they were, you know, they were cheap metal spoons. So a kindergartner could bend them. And I had like basically twisted them all around and my teacher had found out. And so her response was to take the spoon and like put it above the chalkboard for everyone to see as like my punishment. But that did not work because what I had seen was she had displayed my artwork to the entire class. Like it was on it was like putting it on the refrigerator and I was just so proud. And then she called my mom to show me and to show her. And my God, I don't think that's ever happened in school since, or, you know, but like when they call your parents to show how great of a job you did bending spoons, it's just, you're beaming with pride.
Nice.
So it's multi-layered there. It's pretty crazy. But
yeah, I don't think I ever got away with anything like that. So
yeah, no, I definitely got away with murder.
I was the weird quiet kid drawing in the back. So
yeah, I mean, I drew a lot, but man, I was definitely not the quiet kid. I would do cartwheels in class. But yeah, so and then we both ended up here in the OHR, and I'm here, you know, because I was looking for things for a video game maker. It's been something that I've been wanting to do. I found this one.
Right.
It's a great video game maker. and I've just been here ever since. But why are you here?
Okay, so I have the suspicion that my response is going to be one that you're going to hear whenever you start interviewing anybody over the age of 35. Okay, so way back when, back in mid-high school, give or take, I had a friend who introduced me to a video game called Attack of the Saiyans. Way back when. And Attack of the Saiyans was an OHR game where you play as Vegeta and Nappa, and you blow up a bug planet, and that's the whole game. And he said, this is a really cool thing. We can take this comic that I am developing and port it into the OHR. And I get to looking at it, and I'm like, I don't think that this would entirely work. You would have to rework, like, everything about it. It doesn't have a plot. It can't really be easily translated into a role-playing game form. At least I didn't think so. But, after spending like a year or so just trying to grab together some elements or whatever, and basically just starting from scratch like a half a dozen times just to get something that freaking worked, that's how I ended up with the very first Legend of Kale game.
Huh.
And of course, it bears no resemblance whatsoever to the source material. So that's kind of a common theme with, my work going forward.
to almost intentionally not stick to the source material. Fantastic.
Yeah, it bears no resemblance whatsoever towards like the comic where it came from. Like the characters are completely different. The world setting is completely different. It's just none of it freaking lined up with that. And then I made a sequel, which introduced Kyle, and Kyle was pretty much like my go-to hero in every game that I used for like the next 5 years or so until we killed him off in Vikings. Hooray!
Hooray, he's dead.
Dead. That one.
That's fun. Yeah, Kyle definitely, like, that's the one that was on the OHR shirt, or Heart of the OHR shirt. Yeah, that's definitely your character.
Yeah, I mean, that's that guy. He's got like, the identifiable profile.
Sort of. Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, I always thought of him as very cloud-like. So he's got, a cloud profile.
Yeah, I mean, he's supposed to essentially just be, like, a mercenary, effectively. Mm. But, just like in recent years, whenever he shows up, it's basically he's just like some cameo appearance in the background of whatever.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, it's that dude. And it
that
just
guy.
Never gets brought up again. It's just, oh, there's that guy. And then carry on.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's about you, not about me.
Exactly. Yeah. Not about you, not about me, but about the community. We had the ridiculous game contest where you were in it, I was in it, everybody's in it. Now, the ridiculous game contest, originally the terrible game contest,
right?
You started that. Where did that come from?
It was not my idea to begin with.
Oh.
I'd like to say it was... Lord, I can't even remember. It was like JSH or Harlock or like one of the big names around 2005, 2006, somewhere around there.
Mm.
And it's like, essentially, it started off as make the absolute worst game that you possibly can. Like, just make an awful game. And every once in a while, whenever that contest would get held, we get something that, wasn't that bad. Was kind of good. It just, needed to stretch its legs. So I guess, after a while, that contest just starts to resonate with me. And it's not necessarily for, like, the awful and terrible games, because I make awful and terrible games. But because it's a contest where there's no expectations of any quality.
Mm.
So if you make a good game for this contest, it just happens to stand out anymore. So... at some point or another, I get saddled with, like, being the host. People begin to expect me to host it. So later iterations of this contest start to pick up, like, weird themes. Like, make an edutainment game, or make a game about science, or make a game about, like, somebody in the community, or make a game about, you get the idea.
Right.
Instead of just make a terrible game. And that change to the contest kind of begins to morph it over time. Fun fact, Sturlaw was actually the one who pushed the hardest behind the scenes for the name to be changed to Ridiculous Games Contest.
I can see that.
And that name has sort of stuck. Well, because it's more appropriate. And we'll kind of get to that in a moment.
Right. Yeah. It does seem like it's not just more appropriate, but it's probably gives a better idea of what you want from the entries. I do remember, I think the one before it was Ridiculous Game Contest had one or two games in it that were, I mean, it wasn't even just that they were terrible, but like trying to be just garbage, where every single sprite was just a squiggle and it, you know, it had screeching sounds in it. And it's like, okay, great. I literally can't turn this game on because I'm upset. I'm upset at this game.
Yeah, that was like some of the entries for like the original one. It was sort of, if anything, I'd say it's like kind of a reaction against, like the trend that everybody who joins in the community like wants to make Final Fantasy IV as their first game.
Yeah,
or they want to make like something really big. They have this absolutely huge story. Where they have like grand plans for like lots of graphics, original music, and then their very first game just ends up being absolute garbage, which is as it should be. But, it's like this contest was basically like a reaction to that, to be like, you know, OHR games are not actually as bad as they were. Let's take a peek back into like 2001, 2000, when like we had some real eyesores coming out.
Yeah. So that kind of almost answers my first question, but you know, like why you hold it, or I'm sorry, not first question. You're the next question. Basically why you're holding it. But so, you know, you kind of mentioned it a little bit, you know, why are you the one that keeps hosting it? It seems like anybody could, but
I'll tell you. Tradition. This is where you hear the clip from Fiddler on the Roof, by the way.
Well, but it's I don't know if I can play that audio. I guess I'll find out.
just a very brief clip, but you may ask, how does tradition get started? I don't know.
Yeah.
And of course, like the new tradition for this contest is that the winner of the contest must host it the next time it comes around.
You won.
Or pass it off to somebody else who wants it. So, I mean, I passed it off to Red. He's already said that the next time the theme is going to be breakfast foods. And I'm not going to say it's a good theme. I'm not going to say it's a bad theme. Crazy things happen in this community. Let's find out. In a year.
Oh, so it is officially passed off to him. You're not hosting it the next one.
Yeah, I am not hosting it next time. He will be hosting it. So I hosted it this time. Because I won the contest when Phoenix held it, and Phoenix hosted it because he won the contest when I don't know hosted it, and I don't know hosted the contest because he asked, and I said, "Yeah, go ahead. Nobody has asked in a couple of years. It's all yours. Have fun." So it's like when I last hosted it, that was when we had Clam Digger, actually.
Yeah.
Which was the one that won it the last time that I ended up hosting it around. And it's sort of like after that, it's sort of like, okay, I am, for the time being, retiring this contest until it is needed again.
Yeah, I mean, with a game that perfect, you know, you might as well just retire the contest. Yeah.
It's only a shame that it got beaten out to Airship 2600. You know, the game that wins every single time.
It's really hard to beat that game.
It's really, really hard. But the actual answer for why I end up hosting this contest so often is that it, to me, the Ridiculous Games contest feels like the OHR contest. Or the OR contest, however you choose to say it. It's a ridiculous contest that is ultimately about OHR games. And I'm going to let you in on a little secret. All OHR games are ridiculous games.
I mean, as they should be.
One of them. Yeah, every last one of them. because they had to be ridiculous to work in like a 320 by 200 resolution. We are ridiculous for using like limited graphics settings. We are ridiculous for sticking with an engine for 25 plus years of its existence. I mean, we are a dedicated group of nutcases, but you know. And ultimately, I want to see more OHR games. So, you know, being the host of the contest, it goes, hey, I'm not going to judge you for making a game that does not cut muster. And that is totally okay by me. And it sort of lets people know that it's okay to let their guard down a little and just tell the stories they want to tell without maybe somebody else getting onto them for it.
Yeah. Yeah, I do think that that's important to kind of show like that.
Yeah,
we're not some sort of elitists, you know, making these great epic long games, and that's all that's, you know, and to where a person sees that and is embarrassed to show the game that they made. And I mean, that recently came up. There was a new person that was talking about their games, and they're like, oh yeah, I've made these other games, but I don't want to show you those. It's like, well, wait, why not? Let's see them, you know. Okay. But you know, speaking of the games, speaking of terrible games, we can
ridiculous this time. So
yeah, so
do you want to go over them?
You know, we should definitely go over, like, so we can start with my game. I was thinking of going in reverse order to where your game is last.
That's fair.
Yeah, so my game would be first, and you know, it was amazing. It definitely hit all of the right marks that I was looking for, and in that it was ridiculous. But I, you know, I try to keep the origins of the contest and make it a little bit terrible.
And that did kind of cross my mind just a little bit, because I have recently found out that there's an OHR trivia game called OHR Trivia.
Yep.
Of course, I can't remember whether it's hosted on Castle Paradox or Slime Salad. I think it's on Slime Salad, but it's probably old, old, old.
Yeah.
And it's like, to dig up some of the answers needed for that game, you've got to dig deep into the community history, man.
Yeah, I can only imagine. Those are like dead answers at this point.
Yeah, it's sort of like, okay, so there's like, you played, I think most everybody has played a version of Night's Lights at this point or another, and it's like there's a bunch of like answer cards in there to where it's like, I have no clue what this is referencing,
yeah,
but I know it relates to something. And then I have to go on a little scavenger hunt to sort of like dig up the lore for it. And it's like, oh, in this one particular game 8 years ago, somebody mentioned a boat and the boat cost $800. And it's like, I would never get anything like that because I don't pay that much attention.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's like, man, that was an obscure reference that not even the maker of the game fully got.
Yeah, which is of course kind of why whenever we release the game, we have like this big list inside of it that is like, okay, here's all the references that we're consciously aware of. There are probably others, but have fun.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's like being able to very quickly get people in the community who have been here for a very long time back into the loop of what are the community in jokes? Like, what are... Well, the very next game on our list, we'll end up talking about that, but it's like, we kind of have like a series of running gags among us that we just tend to use, and it's, they just keep true. Popping up.
You know, whenever you have a group of friends, that does happen, you know?
Yeah. Which ultimately, I mean, we're a whole bunch of weird deviants anyway, but we care about each other. So, you know, yeah, friends.
Yeah. So, you know, we can move on to the next game. My game, OHR Afterlife, I don't really feel like there's much to say. You know, I think anybody that experiences it kind of understands what's going on there.
You'll get the gist of what it is within, like, the first minute or so. You'll be like, okay, I see where this is going. And then you'll hit a wall, and then it'll be like, well, I have to get to the ending. So you'll try to brute force it.
Yep. The number of people that actually like got to the ending was phenomenal. Like I didn't expect anyone to beat it. I expected people to get there and be like, man, this is stupid, and then stop, and then, you know, lo and behold, only 30 people later.
It's only 10 questions. So, yeah. You know, if you can get to the if you can at least get to that, When you're ready to take that test, bam, you've already answered the first question. Now you just got to deal with the other nine. So
I really want to stump people with a couple of them that are designed to stump specific people. One of them is the joke, the colorblind joke, because I've got the colorblind test. Oh, man. I want the angry letter. Yeah, I want the angry letter. I want them to be like, I can't believe you did this. And I'm going to be like, you know, I'm sorry, but it's hilarious.
Sorry, but not really.
Sorry, not sorry. But okay, yeah, okay. So... The other thing I wanted to say about my game is that I found it hilarious that I got praised for the slice work in it, because there's no slices in it.
No, none whatsoever.
None.
Honestly, I think it's hilarious, because it's like when you finally get into the questions, it's like, okay, so like all the other characters you've met at this point are like, essentially, like the premise is that you have to answer all of the questions, and once you answer all of the questions, your time in the community can come to an end if you choose to.
Right.
So it's sort of like you get to the end of this, and then you have the opportunity to stick around or leave. And I think it's hilarious, because after the very first question, my character like just pops out of existence. Presumably because he answered wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like I caught that, and it's like I laughed my butt off for like the next minute or so just after that. Because I was just like, okay, I see what you did.
Yeah, I think Swordplay might not have fully gotten it. He was like, "Oh, you have me like in there the longest. Is it because I'm smart?" It's like, "No, it's because you're the most likely one to want to leave." But anyways, okay. So moving on to Charred Bile Day of the Charred Bile game, Charred Bile's Hatful Adventure.
I love this game.
Yes.
Although it. In its initial incarnation, it was very rough.
It's a rough game. It's definitely the Dark Souls of OHR.
Yeah, if you're looking for a challenge, play Charred Bile's Hatful Adventure.
You can even roll out of the way of stuff, just like in Dark Souls.
Yeah. On the other hand, if you're but you can only do it twice, and then you have to wait for it.
Then you have to wait. Yeah, I know. So it's harder than Dark Souls. Great.
Yeah, it's like a hard mode tunic or something.
Yeah,
good which Lord. Is also a game about a fox.
Yep.
And in Charred Bile's Hatful Adventure, you're playing as a fox trying to get Charred Bile's hats back. And what I find hilarious about this is that, of course, we all know Charred Bile. He's essentially like a veteran OHR developer, artist, writer, scenario producer. He wears lots of hats. Is the joke that I'm going for here. And you got to get his particular one back.
Yeah.
But honestly, this game just, it just has charm like nothing else. Just because, I mean, we've got like Charmile or Long Bile or whatever you want to call him.
And yeah, Charmile like is fantastic.
Every character in this game, including characters who are not in the game, are all Charred Bile.
Yeah.
Like every single one of them, they're all Charred Bile. And it's great.
I remember talking to Kyle about Charmile. So the funniest part about Charmile was the very intricate coding that goes into Charmile just to get the Slinky Dog effect joke. It's just like, you know, you could have completely done without that, but you chose to not, and you chose to make it the way it is, and you know, I applaud you.
Honestly, I probably would have done something like he just sort of like rotates 90 degrees, and then it's like the top half of him just goes right on the top half of the screen, and it just sort of like just keeps making that sound effect for a little while, and then eventually like the bottom half of him just follows afterwards. But you know, it's what's there is fantastic.
Yes.
The game looks great. It controls really, really, really well. Mm. It's just hard. And we're getting an expansion to it too.
That which is good, yeah. You know that's always what we want to see, right? Like the contests are held, like, and then
the game itself was already done, and then of course Kyle comes back and he's like, you know what? I have more plans for this. I'm gonna get it going. So it's like, have at it, man. I enjoyed the heck out of it. I enjoyed this game even through the difficulty. And I did actually make it to an ending. I had to cheat my butt off to get to there, but I did.
Cheater.
Just to confirm, because remember, whenever I voted for these things, I had to make sure that each game has an ending that you can get to. Yeah. This one has an ending.
It does have an ending. Yep. It's
gotta beat that. I can't just take people's words on this. I had to actually get there. And let's see, what's next on our list?
Speaking of endies, so you got to the ending of Global Warming.
Oh, good God. That was a Herculean effort. I mean, it's weird because it's like both of the twin stick shooters effectively in this contest are like one right after another.
Yeah.
But Global Warming, for those who are not in the know, it's a Gizmog story.
Yes.
You know, back from when he was in the Cuban Missile Crisis and was phoned up by like George Bush. It's great. Like any time that like Gizmog starts like talking about his past, you don't know whether he's just pulling your leg or, you know, whether there's a grain of truth into it. But it's usually a pretty fun time if you dig in, sit down, get yourself something to drink, and just let him take you on a magical journey. And this is a magical journey through Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, a very brief stint to Alabama. You don't want to spend too long in there, and then you go to Florida.
Yeah.
But it's like, who made this? PJ. Yeah, PJ is the one who made this. And honestly, PJ's been kind of strutting this stuff around the community pretty recently. He's been out with some pretty big hits.
He's a strong developer. Definitely one to look out for. He's won a couple contests. He's definitely churning them out. I feel like some people hit their their golden time when they're just developing like crazy. And he does definitely seem to be in it. He is definitely developing a ton of games. He's working on like three right now.
This one, of course, both the twin stick shooters. You know, they're kind of on the difficult side. This one is a bit more in line to what I would have made.
Mm, yes.
Which is, of course, not pixel based movement. It's pretty much like tile based or whatever. So, you know, you're still stuck to the grid, and each individual screen of each level is essentially you're just on that one screen. So you're not moving around too much. All the map hazards and the enemies that you essentially have to shoot at to proceed, you know, they move along this grid. So they're following, you know, standard OHR NPC movement logic type stuff. And that leads to some weirdness here and there where it's like they'll just all of a sudden, they'll just stand behind a tree, and then they'll never move. Yeah. It's like to be able to shoot them, you have to go around the tree. But then it's like the moment an enemy has line of sight to you, it's like they're going to take a pot shot at you. Yeah. You don't have to follow that logic, though. You can like move into position, fire off a shot, and then quickly get out of the way. They can't.
Right.
So it's like if you figure out how to abuse that in various circumstances and just hope that the dice roll your way a couple of times, you'll get to the end eventually.
Takes a couple times, but yeah, every game should take a couple tries.
Just and of course it's kind of got a kind of got an element of, I'd like to say, River City Ransom.
I can see that.
Or something.
I was thinking like, Bayou Billy.
Yes. Yes. To where it's like you stop into like a shop or whatever to like recharge your health or whatever, and you're basically buying like chicken nuggets and hamburgers and all the rest of that stuff. So it's like, just be forewarned. There's some low dressed ladies at a couple of those shops.
Yeah.
Which is as tradition for a Gizmog story.
Yeah.
We laughed. Honestly, I was telling PJ at one point, I was like, PJ, just a little bit of forewarning. Once you go down the furry side, it leads to powers unnatural. And he's like, I know.
No, you really are converting people, Fenner. I knew it.
I knew it. It's my dastardly plan.
Oh, man.
No, it's kind of the trope. It's another one of our running gags.
Yeah. Everybody's a furry, even though there's like what, four, but
yeah, I think we might outnumber the non-furries. You got to figure with a community that has hamster in the name, it's going to attract some weirdos. But
well, you know, the internet's full of weirdos. Everybody's got their freak flag to fly, whether they fly it or not. is kind of up to them, but the internet kind of lets you fly whatever you want. So
the thing I've learned over the years is that everybody is at least a little bit crazy, and you have to be a little bit crazy, not full blown woohoo nutso, you know, but you know, just a little bit to get you to the end of the day and to just sort of enjoy life as it comes by.
The way I've always seen it is everybody's a little bit crazy, and if you see someone that doesn't seem to be crazy, watch out, they're the real crazy ones.
Joy. That's what we found out over the years. Okay, yeah. But speaking of crazy.
Yeah, the literal game about craziness, Cthulhu's Paradox.
Yeah. And of course this one's by Red Maverick Zero. And he basically took the prompt for this contest to essentially make a game about somebody, and he chose me, of all people. And I'm not very interesting. I'm just going to say that now. So,
see, I don't know. I played that. I didn't really get that. I know that there's a play on one or two things. Like, you know, he goes into the meh game. But beyond that, I don't really see your influence in it so much. Like, and Vikings being the beginning.
Yeah, it's like, it's amazing because he recreated like the first 30 minutes of Vikings.
Yeah.
Using Ferdurf's 8-bit sprite pack with a couple of edits, you know, but it's basically, he's got it almost to a letter. He does like the entire opening act of it. Except there's like some mice and some ducks that are wandering around like the map that you can talk to and they go quack or whatever noise that they make.
Yeah, Vikings could use some ducks.
It's got a few wandering around. Not as many ducks as it should, but, you know, it needs more birds.
Yeah.
Because everybody likes birds.
The more the better.
But it's like, you're playing through the very first opening act, like the first dungeon of Vikings, more or less. And then you finally get to the first major boss. And then all of a sudden, you're playing as Cthulhu.
Yeah, and but then the game starts.
Yeah, and then the actual game starts.
Just a half an hour in.
Yeah, it's like the joke, of course, is that Cthulhu is essentially like having some sort of weird mental break. Because, you know, he's not exactly the most stable individual anyway. And supposedly, he starts having the mental break where he's me. Or at least Red's interpretation of me.
Yeah, see, I didn't get that. I didn't get that. And I feel like if anybody should get that, it should be the people in the... But regardless, so he's having the mental break. He goes on the mental break adventures of in the different like zones of psyche and or worlds.
Right.
Yeah,
because it's like... honestly, he and I were like developing our games at about like the same time, and we're sort of like passing notes back and forth to each other of, oh, I'm going to have him do this, and I'm going to have this character do this, and I'm going to bring up, like, this particular incident that happened. Except he was very, 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 very hush-hush about what he had planned. Me, not so much.
Right.
Like, pretty much, like, by the time that everybody knew that I was, like, 10 minutes into development, they were like, oh, okay, we're going to be playing this Bob. Whereas, with his game, I don't think anybody had any real expectations of what he was planning. And that was kind of part of the charm going into it.
Yeah, I feel like if you knew too much, then a lot of it's kind of like lost. Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like it's one of those games where there's like a lot of community references in it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you kind of have to know a couple of the movers and shakers in the community in order to catch some of the jokes. And there are a lot of jokes in Cthulhu's Paradox, let me tell you. Like it finally occurred to me recently that one of the areas in the game is essentially like a giant homage to Sonic 3 with Knuckles. And I didn't catch that at the time that I was playing it because, you know, I have never actually played Sonic 3.
Oh.
It only occurred to me afterwards, you know, when I'm seeing like some video of it to where I suddenly go, that's where he got that from.
Right. Right. Yeah, it definitely had some Sonic. Like, there was there's a couple of monsters in it that are like Sonic monsters with OHR twists on them. And then there's some that just seem directly out of Sonic, the Chaos gel person. But of course, there's multiples of them. But yeah, yeah. It was definitely Sonic towards the end there. And then it's revealed, why is that? That's who is messing with Sonic or with Sonic with Cthulhu and
that's who's messing with him in the first place.
Yeah,
it's just because it's funny.
Yeah.
but no, it's a little rough in some places. Honestly, I think I've said it before, the stealth segment.
Yeah.
Was kind of a cool idea in theory, but in actual practice, I don't think very many people enjoyed it.
It really did. Like, it was like, that was interesting. I hated it, but it was interesting. I think that was basically most people's response to it.
To be honest, I think that was probably like the major reason why that game didn't score higher on people's lists is because of that one particular segment right there.
I think there was a couple segments. I don't think it was just that one, but yes. Yeah.
But in Red's defense, he essentially made his vision of a Charbile game. And by that, I mean, like, until Charbile came out with, like, Hottie's Bizarre Adventure and Mystery Friends 1 and 2 now, we kind of knew him for Sleepover.
Right.
And Sleepover, of course, is the game where it's constantly cutting in and out of, like, different weird, bizarre segments, just with no warning whatsoever. Cthulhu's Paradox pulls the exact same thing.
Right.
So you're going to end up playing, like, 6, 7, 8, you're going to end up playing a whole bunch of different games just in this one. So if you're looking for a little bit of variety, check this one out. You know,
it's true.
It's not a bad one. Just sit back, turn off your brain, enjoy the ride.
Turn that old brain off. So,
you got to turn off your brain.
Yeah. So next on the list, we've got Hottie's Bizarre Adventure, Twink episode. which is interesting to see a side adventure to a series not by the maker. I think he was the only one that did that actually, like, based the game off of the other games. Every other game is based off of the people. So I guess
So like the joke, the thing that started this, of course, it's like all of us are essentially in like the secret OHR dev chat to where people like discuss like game ideas every once in a while. And like myself and I don't know and Charbile are like sort of throwing some ideas back and forth about what the overall plot of Hottie 2 is. And it's at this point or another, somebody, I don't remember who, points out, hey, wait a minute, like, all the girls in this game have a boyfriend, presumably. What if there was an episode, or at least, like, a segment in the game where it just focuses on the boyfriends, and it's like, I draw a doodle of, like, them sitting at, like, a table going, Twink episode?
And the Twink episode comic came before the game.
Yes.
Ah, so I wasn't aware.
Came before it. And then, I don't know, it's just like, hey, you know what? I'm going to take that image and just use that as like the inspiration for
an entire game. That's fantastic.
But then he went the extra mile. Okay. Because he's actually played, you know, enough of Sword of Jade to actually be able to like bring in some references there. So he's like one of the few people in the community who is actually kind of up to date on like all the people who are involved in HBA. So it's like he's up to date on my stuff. He's up to date on Char and Firewolf stuff. He's up to date on his stuff. everybody who's anybody who's involved in bizarre adventure, he knows enough about their work to basically create a side story or a guide-in game, I guess you could say, just based on that material. And what is that material? Cut 6 months later, they're investigating the ruins of the flower shop, and there's a new bad guy there who's doing spooky, nefarious things, and we have to stop them because, you know, the last time that somebody showed up at this stupid place, we had a month before the world would end or something. Yeah. And it's fantastic. Okay, so it's a dungeon crawler, which, you know, the original, the source material is essentially a dungeon crawl with only three levels. This one like triples the amount of it. You've got like 9 or 10 floors to go down.
Yeah,
it's a big game. To get between them. Yeah, it's a huge game. It uses the default OHR battle engine, which comes with its own pluses and minuses, but, you know, that sped up his work a bit. But the thing about Hottie, you don't gain your abilities by leveling up. You have to go through, like, you have to actually, like, build a bond with the rest of your teammates in order for them to, like, pick up new skills, right?
Right.
So he did that. As you go through the dungeon every so often, it's like you're prompted to essentially, you know, I don't think I can go any further. I think we need to, like, get to know the people on my team, like do some team building exercises or whatever. So it's like you can then leave the dungeon and go check out what Doggero is up to, or you can check out what Raikou is up to, or you can go to the pizza shop and talk to your mom and dad. Or you can go hang out at the library, you know, where you're rearranging the books.
Yeah, I am.
that's kind of a small in joke too.
Yeah, quite the reference.
But it's like he didn't have to do that, and he did that, and it works really, really well.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that's probably going to fly over people's heads.
I think of all the games, that's probably the one that has the most inner joke type.
Maybe.
I feel like it's got the most lore that is going to be lost on most people. That's just my thinking on it. Now, I could be wrong because obviously I know all the lore, so I don't know what I don't know.
Right.
But
he's essentially like this is a game that has a very, very particular audience in mind.
Right.
As far as its story is considered. So it's like I'm one of the people who this game is being made for. Like I'm going to understand like all the in-joke references that he's making. Charbile to an extent. Thelos, who's not even a part of the community, he's like his prints are all over this in the background through one or two of the characters anyway. But it's like I was the only one who managed to get to the ending, and that was because I inadvertently cheese the final boss.
Oh yeah,
I don't know how that works.
Yeah,
and it's like I'm the only one who didn't catch it, and I'm like, but wait a minute, I got to the ending. How did nobody else get to the ending?
I got to the ending, but I fully cheated.
Yeah, you F5'd and then F7'd your way.
Oh yeah,
to that point or whatever.
Yeah, at a certain point, I was like, I don't know how this is possible, and I was really glad to hear it. It's like, oh, it's impossible. Oh, okay. That makes a lot more sense to me.
That's much more sense.
Yeah.
But it was honestly, any game that uses like the default OHR battle engine or whatever, speed is king.
Yes.
You know, you just get your speed up to around like 30 or 40 or whatever. And like the enemy's never going to be able to take an action. It's like you break their speed and then you raise yours up at the same time. And it's like they'll never get an action. Yep. And at that point, it's like you don't even realize that they're doing any damage to you. So it's just sort of like that's how I managed to cheese my way to the ending. But I could have decided not to do that. And anybody who is not preparing for that will have an appropriately difficult time.
Yes. Well, I do think he fixed that, but I do think it's still going to be fairly difficult. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
but on the other hand, it does have like the absolute best joke. I turned him into a null. funniest stuff I ever did.
Oh man, Nulls. So
we've been sort of beating around the Fox box. Yeah, like every single one of these games, like every single one of them, like OHR Afterlife, Charbel's Hat, Cthulhu's Paradox, HBA Twinks, like every single one of them has Charbel in it somewhere.
I guess Afterlife does have Charbel in it.
Just a tiny bit. Every single one of them has him in this. Let's talk about Mystery Friends.
So Mystery Friends was probably, I thought that it was one of the more surprising ones. We kind of knew he was making it, but we didn't know what he was really making until he released it. And the level of completion was surprising too, because his last effort was very incomplete. Everyone was a little iPhone.
Yeah, right. Which honestly, I'm kind of surprised that he won't go back to that one and finish it up at some point. But at the same time,
he released the sequel instead of finishing the first one.
Yeah, because Sword of Jade is actually like the second part in like a trilogy or whatever. But you know, that's sort of like the in joke that we have with them. But man, I don't think anybody even like remotely expected this. I mean, he said he was working on Mystery Friends. He just didn't say which one.
Right. And yeah, we all expected this. Mystery Friends to just be done. Yeah, and not just this completely new game.
Yeah, because when the contest rules do not say that you cannot take a pre-existing game that you have been working on and then retrofit this to the contest. There's no rule whatsoever that says that you can't do that.
Right.
But he decided to do his own thing. And we have what might be the best OHR game of 2022.
It's possible.
Maybe.
We do have some pretty stiff competition already. You know, to say that is hard considering it didn't even win the contest it was in. So
it took second. Honestly, I was kind of rooting for it to gain first, but it's sort of like it came out a week late. And then I realized I don't actually have any rules in the contest that say that your game is disqualified if it's after a certain date. And it's sort of like he releases it and then people start including it in their votes. And I'm just sort of like, you know what? I'm a giant softy anyway. I'm just going to let it stand.
Right.
You know, which, you know, that's happened before in a couple of OHR contests in the past. It's sort of like, hey, this game is like off the deadline for like 4 days before this contest like even comes out. Can we go ahead and include it in this? Or like somebody releases the game completely unknowing that there's something going on.
Yeah.
And then it's like the community just as a whole says, wait, was this made for this particular 8-bit contest or this 48-hour whatever? And
sure it was. Throw it in there.
Nobody knows. Just throw it in there. Just get it in there.
Yeah.
But, okay, to give a little bit of like my impression of Mystery Friends, the rules of the contest say that you have to make a game about a person or their works or an OHR community member, right?
Right.
Charbel did it about everybody.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, most people. I think that there's... I can't think of anybody offhandedly that's not included, just, but there's people not included in there.
just off the top of my head, anybody who's released a game like within
the last 5 years. Yeah.
Even longer than that.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, if you count the monsters, then yeah, I don't know if there's really that many people that are left out. I know that there are people left out, but to say that they are part of the quote unquote community is, you know, always a stretch there. Cause it's like, just because they release an OHR game, are they part of our community? What is our community? Who's in it?
Basically he picked like what, like 100, 140 people over the span of the entire like community's history. And they're in there. In some form or fashion, be it small or large, they are in Mystery Friends. And we're not even talking about like the actual gameplay of the game or any of the graphics, which he did all the graphics by hand.
Right.
They look
right.
fantastic. Like, everything is just super fluidly animated. The way that it's all controlled with a mouse cursor. Like, the only quips I have about it are that it's not long enough, it doesn't have an endless mode, and there's no save feature.
Yeah.
That's the only three things that I've got to knock it for. And
I would enjoy it more if it was longer, yes.
Yeah, those don't even matter. It's like, I don't even care about a level editor. Just give me, like, an endless mode where, you know, you kind of have the start of that going in that one particular level where it's like, they build up to it and they say, look, there's just one really, really powerful Pokemon coming. We've got to stop it, guys. And then, of course, you see, like, this one just moving very slowly. And it's like, no matter what you're throwing at it, it's like, it doesn't take damage.
Yeah.
And then the actual battle starts coming in. It just spawns in, like, 80 individual, like, super fast units that just come flooding in, like, immediately after that. And you're like, oh, boy, how do I survive this? And the secret is to take TMC. I mean, that's the secret to every OHR game. If you want to win, you know, bring TMC along.
He is possibly the best unit. There's definitely some standouts. I definitely noticed that. Like, there's some that are definitely better than others. I think the best part about his game was his little subtle concept of the game that working together makes it work.
Yes.
And my God, that he pulled that off. Because I actually don't know that there are many castle defenders that do that.
There's no one particular character, no one particular unit that can just solo any one challenge by themselves.
Yeah, no matter how much you upgrade it.
Yeah, no matter how much you upgrade an individual character, something's going to get by at some point or another. In order to beat the game, you have to, you know, you got to learn at least a little bit of what everybody's strengths and weaknesses are. What does what, and you learn that by playing the game.
It's
a shame that it's kind of so short, and there's not really a way to pick up, like, a unit and then, like, replace it somewhere else. I mean, I would say, yeah, that might be kind of cool to do, but no, it is an absolutely fantastic game. It is the only game out of this contest that I am aware of that people outside of the community have actually played.
Hmm.
Mainly because I caught one of my roommates playing it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a fun game, and there are people that have, you know, when you talk about games outside the community, they get outside the community because, you know, they get,
yeah, because somebody showed them to,
yeah, or, word of, yeah, mouth, and that's definitely the word of mouth. Yeah. One I do know that it got around. Raven was showing it to people, and and apparently an entire Discord server started making their avatars off of the characters, which is hilarious.
Yeah, which have been everybody is just, like, making their character, like, everybody's got, like, a personal favorite.
Yeah.
Out of the characters out there. Honestly, I think, and I have to say this, that Three-Tailed Vulpix steals the show. It's like, you play the game and you can tell the moment where that Vulpix is like, I am going to just murder this heart. It's like, you.
He
you,
literally steals the heart of us all.
Yeah, it's like, you dirty little beating muscle. I will get you for this. It's like, you know the exact moment where that plan gets set into motion, and just the payoff. Mwah, chef's kiss.
Yeah.
It's good. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
It's good. And I want to see more.
That is true. I mean, you know, we do want to see more of that game. That's always a good hallmark of a good game. Like, hey, why isn't this longer? That's usually not what you hear. It's like, hey, maybe make your game shorter.
Yeah. Honestly, there's not any one game that came out in this particular contest that I can actually say, you know, maybe it needed to be a little shorter.
Yeah.
No, every single game of this contest, I want to see more. I want them to be, like, more event dense.
So I think we're on to your game, which I would assume you have the most to talk about.
Not as much as you might suspect.
Oh, okay.
Because it's a grossly incomplete game.
Well, yeah.
But
these things happen.
No, honestly, I sort of held this contest with like this particular rule set specifically because I had this game in mind, and
that,
it's just
that's something that has been done before, where you hold a contest for your specific project. Yeah, but you know, it's a ridiculous idea. It's a ridiculous contest, so it fits.
It's a silly idea, and it's kind of the one that you know we've sort of been teasing for years and years of how would James actually react to all of the nutty shenanigans that go on behind the scenes in this community? Like, how would he actually respond to, you know, the Minecraft games or playing Valheim or, you know, how would he actually respond to, like, some of the weird discussions in Discord or, like, Gizmog doing his story time or, you know, sword playing in Baena, having, like, an Artemis Baena Mario 3 stream, you know. what would his reactions be to that? And we don't know, is the thing.
Yeah.
And we want to know. But the only thing that we can actually say 100% is we know kind of how Bob the Hamster would react to some of this stuff. Because he's a very, very, very simple character to write for. He's like naive and brutally honest. To a fault. I mean, he's everybody's friend.
Right.
Yeah, that's, you know, I mean, he's essentially, he's Mr. Rogers in a fuzzy suit.
He is very Mr. Rogers-y. You know, you almost expect him to come in and start changing his shoes into his inside shoes.
Yeah, except he doesn't wear anything. So, you know, it'd be a little bit awkward if he just takes off his feet and then he puts on his indoor feet.
His indoor feet, yes.
Yeah, his indoor feats, which honestly, it's like designing the game is sort of like, you know what? I come to the realization that he's essentially like a 1930s, 1940s Disney cartoon character.
Yeah,
you know, like the ones that essentially, like, if you're looking for like the art style, essentially you look at like the art style of the characters in Cuphead. For like a modern approximation or whatever, but essentially, like, he kind of fits into that sort of visual shorthand of, you know, like the character lives inside of a house that's essentially just a giant version of their head or whatever. so it's like it's kind of like Mickey Mouse living inside the, like the Mickey Mouse head with the ears on the side of it. No, it's Bob the Hamster's head, and the house has like the weird hamster ears coming off the side of it, and it just makes sense. Given his setting, it's even funnier because there's like a line in the game where he's like facing off against like the bad guy of the week, essentially. And it's just sort of like, oh, sometimes I'd like to pretend that I'm a cartoon character because it gets me to the end of the day. It's just sort of like, that is such a Bob thing to say.
Yeah.
Because he's never mean with anybody. He's never cross. He sort of loses his cool once or twice later on.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's sort of like this is kind of the character who we kind of all aspire to be a little bit. So it's a little weird to sort of see an adventure where they're taken completely out of their element and then dropped into a whole bunch of other random events.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting take. You know, it's definitely something that we're all interested in. You know, the idea that it's basically Mickey Mouse, you know, our OHR Mickey Mouse. And, you know, it's almost like if there was a movie, you know, the Disney standard of, you know, Mickey Mouse, but like he's in all of the other really weird, obscure Disney stuff. You know, it's like, oh, look, it's Mickey Mouse. And he's, you know, talking to Darth Vader. And, you know, everyone, and that's kind of what the game is. It's Bob, and he's talking to, like, you know, the Harpy Show person.
Yeah, it's sort of like, well, very first act, anyway. It's sort of like you're walking along the side of the road, and you see this gigantic banana beside of it. So it's like, I'm going to go check out that banana. And then all of a sudden, like, Raven just pops her head out of it. And it's like, no, it's mine. It's mine. My banana. Don't touch. Or just like the entire game is just filled with weird characters.
Yes.
Just like that.
Just like our community.
Yeah, just like our community. Honestly, like the funniest part of the thing, and the one that took like a week of straight work just to get right, was the Harpy Show.
That's hilarious.
Which, of course, it's like you go into it, and it's just sort of like, "Hey, kid, would you like to see a harpy show?" "I'd like to see a harpy show." "Are you an adult?" "No." And
no adults. And then you like. And yeah, then it's just like, but why?
And then you get to there, and it's like Phoenix is like, okay, so now here's the harpy show. Everybody enjoy. And then the curtain goes up, and then it's like you got like the three harpies who are like, I'm Bluey, I'm Greeny, I'm Rubido. And then they start like doing a little loopy loop around each other while the can music plays in the background. And it is like it's like the music doesn't quite finish. For them to like stop moving, or it's like they don't quite like get back into their original position, like just a moment too late, and then the curtain drops, and then it's like, what was that? I want my money back. Yeah, could there have been a little bit more? Could there have been like some monkeys or whatever that would come out of the sides with like sticks, like doing the whole dish thing on the side of it or whatever? Yeah, you know, it feels like there needs to be a little bit more, but it's like it's the ridiculousness of that moment that. Hey, this is like a show, and it's got like a bunch of people who are like sneaking in to watch it at like the Terrible Games contest background or theater or whatever, and it's just sort of like this didn't live up to our expectations. but then again, we had no expectations,
and the expectations were low already. Yeah,
our expectations were low already. No, it's like that to me, that's the funniest scene in it, and it's got a great payoff.
Yeah, that was pretty good. So I think we're gonna need to start wrapping up here.
There's one more thing.
Okay, I'm going to
add about it.
Yes.
Next, of course, it's Bob jumping between worlds, quantum leap style, effectively. Picking up new allies along the way. He's going to the Pokemon world next.
So there's an update coming up. So that actually
sooner or later. I'm not working on it at the moment. I'm just sort of like planning ahead for the future. Pokemon's kind of near and dear to our heart in the community.
Everyone loves. We're gonna do a little
Pokemon episode, you know, just for the fun of it.
That's fun.
So I'm gonna have to redesign everybody as a Pokemon. I'm not gonna take like the actual Pokemon designs. They're gonna be like unique or whatever.
Oh,
but you know, we're gonna get a few of those then.
Well, that's definitely something to look forward to. And that does actually cover the final question here. What kind of projects are you working on? Is there anything else that you'd like to share with us before we go?
Still working on the fan art.
Oh yes, the fan art for the prizes. So who all got the fan art? Was it Jess? I mean, obviously not you. You won, but you're not going to make yourself fan art. I guess you could.
But on the other hand, I figured, you know, I've already promised a picture.
Yes.
So it's like, I'm going to take everybody who was in this particular contest, which I have gone over the notes. We had the most voter participation in this contest of any Ridiculous Games contest to date.
Nice.
That's right. We had more people voting and responding and reacting on this particular contest than any other one in the entire history that it has been running.
You like to see it. We're growing as a community, ever forward.
We're growing. So everybody who tells you, no, we're a very small community. No, that's not actually true. We actually have more people right now who are active than, at least as far as this contest goes. And that was me going around saying, hey, have you played this particular game yet? You don't have to play all of them. Just, you know, play one or two, get back to me. That's how I had to do it.
You got to shop yourself around. Yeah, no. Yeah, it's interesting to think like that. We're not really shrinking as a community. There's more people using the OHR than ever. Which is
a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and hopefully listening to this podcast. And so you've been my guest. Thank you for coming. It's definitely been an interesting episode. Probably one of our longest episodes ever. And
I tend to ramble like an old man.
You know, it's fine. So I hope people enjoy it. And maybe we'll have you back sometime.
Over the future, my man.
All right.
Take care.
Take care.